Good morning, and we would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church, located at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Our next community meal will be Saturday, January 20th, from 5 to 7 p.m. We will be serving potato soup, cornbread, and fruit salad. Please join us for food and fellowship, again located at 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. This morning's scripture reading will be from Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11, followed by our sermon by our pastor Angel Armstrong entitled Baptist, the Common Call to Holiness. And so, John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The baptism and temptation of Jesus. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven: you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. The word of God to the people of God.
Praise be to God. Beloved, if you take away nothing today, please take this away. Through baptism, we become members of one body, and our Lord smiles down upon us and says, "This is the one I love. With this one, I am well pleased." Each and every one of us sins in word, thought, and deed daily. But each and every one of us is given opportunity to repent, to turn from that sin, to ask for forgiveness. When we partake of Holy Communion, we are to search our souls and see if there is anything that resides within us that separates us from a good and holy God. For that is what Christ Jesus came to do, is to reconcile us to a good and holy God. Each one of us are called to be a witness, are called to be a disciple, are called to be reconcilers, just as Jesus was. Being holy is to be set aside, to be a witness, to be prepared to speak of Him at any given time. We are to know in the depth of our being and be prepared to give an answer for what Christ Jesus means to each and every one of us. That is the call to discipleship. In celebrating the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ, we remember our baptismal vows as well, that we proclaim, that we take on the power of Jesus Christ, that we might come against oppression and evil in the world in whatever form it comes to us. Some of the greatest spiritual warfare that happens is planting a wedge and dividing people. When people fall into sin, we who are holy, we who are set aside for Christ Jesus, are called to reconcile them before they become so despondent that they cannot receive the power of the Holy Spirit once again. I believe that it takes an awful lot to lose our salvation. The Word of God only tells me of one instance where the Holy Spirit is taken from someone, and that is King Saul. Because he repeatedly went against God's Word, because he hardened his conscience and seared his heart, because he continued to be jealous and chase after David, who was anointed to succeed him. Each and every one of us deals with jealousy, anger, every kind of emotion known to man. That is why Jesus Christ came to this earth, to show us the way in which we should live. Because all of us have those emotions. It is how we act upon them that makes the great difference. My challenge to you this day is that you take at the least 15 minutes a day to set aside to be holy, to be prepared to give an account of what Christ Jesus means to you by reading the scriptures. And I'll tell you, I am not always so good. And sometimes really bad things end up being blessings. Because this pain I have been in all week long has forced me to my knees. It has forced me to read the scripture almost all day long because I couldn't do much of anything else. And this morning I woke up and it was more numbness and tingling than anything else. And I said, thank you, God. Thank you for the pain that I've had for the past several weeks. Because I have felt closer to him than I have in a long time. Because I've been obedient. I've done what he has called me to do. I have been worshiping him daily. I have been praying. I have been reading the word, which we are all called to do. Once upon a time, in a land far, far away, just kidding, there was a man who desperately wanted to be a saint. He wanted to be set apart and used for God. So he got it in his head that he had to leave totally alone, that he had to be a hermit in order that he might pray to God all day. He left his home. He left his family. He left behind all his possessions and all his comfort. He crossed the desert sands, and he found himself a little cave. He went into the little cave, and he said, now I will be holy, because all I can do all day long is worship my God. And all of a sudden, this poor man was hit with every temptation there was. And each of us are hit with temptations. Sometimes that temptation is to be so busy that we don't spend time with God. Sometimes that temptation is to react critically, judgmentally, angrily at other people. Maybe for good reason. I'm not saying that it's not. But we are called to be different. This man stayed in that holy cave for 90 days, and finally the Lord spoke to him, and he said, get up, go forth from here, cross those desert sands, and go into the village and speak to the shoemaker. Who here has ever been called out of their comfort zone? Yeah. We're all called out of our comfort zones to serve the Lord. He did what he was called to do. He wondered, what is God doing? Why am I going to speak to the shoemaker? I don't need any shoes. Don't even wear them. He finds a small house outside the village, and he knocks on the door, and he says, are you the village shoemaker? And the man responded, yes, I am. Would you come in? Would you eat with us? the man was given a hearty meal and a clean place to sleep. In the 3 days that he spent there with the shoemaker, they talked of God, of the kingdom of heaven here on earth, of setting themselves aside so that they could be holy and spend time with our God. They enjoyed their time together. They ate together. They spent time with God. They participated in Holy Communion together. The hermit got to know the shoemaker and his family very well. He didn't let the family get to know him very well, although they were curious. After 3 days' time, he thought, I have fulfilled what the Lord has called me to do, and I shall return home. So he crossed across the desert sands again. And when he arrived home, the whole time thinking, well, that was nice. I enjoyed meeting them, but I still have no idea what God is calling me to do. God began to speak to him, and he said, what was the shoemaker like? Well, he is a poor man. He does a great job with his craft. He has a wife who he loves very much, and he has a family. They have lots of friends. And believe it or not, although he makes very little at his craft, he still takes money to provide for the poor. And he cares for all who are isolated. And God said, beloved, you shall be a saint as you have so wished, but so also shall be the shoemaker's family. And the hermit celebrated. The most overt commission that Jesus Christ gave us, his followers, was actually proclaimed just prior to his ascension, just prior to when he went back up to heaven to sit at the right hand of God. And Jesus addressed his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you to do. And remember, I am with you always unto the end of time. The legend of Saint Anthony of the Desert, the best known as the father to the monks, is namely teaching us how to be a saint by spending time alone with God. It is a central call for all of those who follow in the footsteps of the Master. Anthony discovered that there were many, many paths to God and to sainthood. Anthony set out to live a holy life. Living in the light of this Christmas season, we each must see our own call to discipleship, because we are each called to live holy lives consistent with Jesus' message to be disciples. Jesus' message is one of peace, humility, and love. Saint Mark's description of the baptism of Jesus is rather brief. Saint Mark in general is rather brief. He doesn't need too many words. It's actually the first gospel that was written. He teaches us that we learn of the connection of Jesus the Father and the Holy Spirit. Today's gospel reading is one of the few places in the New Testament where there is clear proof of the Trinity. Jesus is baptized. The Spirit descends upon him like a dove. The sky is torn open and the Father proclaims, "This is my Son. Listen to him. Listen to him. The Lord has challenged you and I to go forward. Just as any family has many privileges, we also have responsibilities. I remember telling my kids when they were young that we have responsibilities in being part of a family. We receive many privileges and many blessings. We receive love from family members. We receive guidance. We receive help. To bring it down to their language, you get a ride to where you want to go to. You get help with your homework. You get help with getting food and laundry cleaned and things of this nature. But you also have a responsibility to your family. Beloved, I think in this day and age, that has gone along the wayside. I just thought of it. I am so proud of Tom and Tony Ann. I have watched Tom lead his children in such a manner that they know how to follow Jesus. Many nowadays don't know anything about the Word, don't know anything about how to become more like Jesus. This world does not have the values and the morals that it once did. All the more reason for us to come to church every week to be filled with His glory so that we can show the rest of the world how we are called to live. Baptism is a call to discipleship. And discipleship may be defined in many, many ways. But there are three principal aspects which are crucial. The first, of course, is simply that we are a follower of Jesus. To be a disciple first means to be a follower. Through baptism, we become followers of Jesus and the church. Actually, we become followers of Jesus when we invite Him into our hearts. Baptism is God's work upon us. And like Jesus, it is our call into ministry. Lastly, discipleship requires us to become evangelists in response to Jesus' command to go forth and make disciples of all nations. The process by which we do this will look different for each and every one of us. We cannot be a follower on some days and then on other days choose to wake up and say, no, I'm going to be grumpy and grouchy. I'm not going to follow Jesus. I'm not going to listen to the Word. Now, all of us do that occasionally, especially in traffic. But we all have opportunity to turn around, to come back to Christ, to ask for that power to help us. Saint Peter puts it well. He says, baptism now saves you, not as removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism is more than an act. It is a promise. It is a sacred, holy covenant between you and your Lord God. So is becoming a member of a church. Nowadays, people walk into the church, plop themselves down, expect to be highly entertained for an hour, and if not, they're all going to lunch to complain about it. But they don't really realize that they have a commitment to the church as well. I remember Bishop Mike saying, Christianity is not a spectator sport. When we take our vows of membership, we are called to pray for our church. We are called to be fully present for her, whether it's in a meeting, whether it's in a community meal, whether it is in service that day. We are called to be fully present. We are called to be a witness for her, which means we speak highly of our church out in public, which means that we invite other people to church. You may invite 100 and only one will come. Statistics show that maybe 10% of people will come if the pastor invites them. 70% of people come if the church herself invites them. We are called to give ourselves first and foremost to our Lord God, and then out to the body of the church. I love this church. I know that we all pray for one another, and that is truly fulfilling the call. Courtesy in our daily lives. Show people what we are to be like, how we live out Christ's word. You know, I've seen people go to major conventions to spend a whole lot of money to go sit there and worship God, and then I see them go out to eat afterwards. I see them cut people off in traffic, guilty myself, I know it. But I've seen people sit there and give the waitress a hard time, unscrew the caps on the Parmesan cheese and Pizza Hut, and just act like jerks. You know, people are watching us daily because there are people who desperately want Jesus Christ in their life, but they're too afraid to trust and take that step and go to church. Maybe they grew up hearing, like I did, all people who go to church are hypocrites. To that I say, what better place for us than to be in the church? I don't know why different people are afraid to come in the church, but they are. There was a study done about 10 years ago, and it said, I love Jesus, but I hate the church. Beloved, I propose to you a challenge to change that. People should want to come in here. It should be a sanctuary. We sang in the beginning, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. We are called not only to welcome and invite people into this sanctuary, we are called to go outside of its doors and to become that sanctuary for many. Using words if necessary. And beloved, Jesus Christ will, through his Holy Spirit, give you the words necessary should you need to share with somebody about Christ. Evangelism is practiced in many different ways, but to be sure, it is practiced by an active life in the church. How many of us have been touched by the words, by the service of others? I know I've been greatly touched by the words and the service of others. When we see someone who reaches out to others, like Mother Teresa, or like Bishop Desmond Tutu, I remember that man well. I have a book in my office he gave me when I drove him around Indianapolis. He had a laugh like a little child. His joy and his witness was infectious to everyone. He knew how to evangelize. And it wasn't through preaching. It was through showing joy in his daily life. It was through ministering to the poor, to the lowly, to the humble, and to the outcast. There are formal ministries in the church and in the community, but more commonly, service is an everyday action of ours. Even more importantly, the call to discipleship, the call to evangelism, is a call to reconcile people together. For Christ Jesus came that we might be reconciled unto his Father. And each and every one of us are called to be that intermediary. The person that comes to mind for me is Jennifer Doerio. That woman has a way with words and with prayer. Her life, by her very example, helps to reconcile people together. She comes alongside of those who are struggling. She doesn't embarrass them, but she makes it clear what right and what wrong is. And she makes it clear how we are to follow Jesus Christ. I see examples of that all the time, but when I think of discipleship and reconciliation, it is Jennifer that I think of. Baptism is rebirth. It is a life of repentance. Scripture states, as we have heard in John the Baptist, Lord, to provide baptism unto us for the forgiveness of sins is indeed a great treasure. When one turns away from sin and begins anew, that value is incalculable. That value changes our very lives. Reconciliation requires courage, and it provides a challenge for others that they might seek similar roads in their life. Baptism is God's work upon us, and it is our call to discipleship. It is an active sacrament. It is anything but passive. It is anything but a spectator sport. All that is required for a life of holiness is in some ways to actively seek God, to set aside time through the reading of the word, to die to self in the flesh, and to act more like the Spirit of God. A little bit later, we will be singing, "Take Time to Be Holy, to Be Set Aside in Jesus Christ, so that in us His likeness will be seen." Just now, we will be singing, "Take My Life. Lord, let it be consecrated unto Thee." And it is my challenge to you that as you sing this song, you will recommit your lives once again. Please, Lord, take my life. Take all that I am. Take all my past experiences. Use them. Take my daily interactions with others. Consecrate it all to you, so that others may find in me a likeness of you.